All aboard the gravy train!
Are you riding your financial planner or broker's gravy train? Your financial prospectus outlines how brokers are allowed to charge you hidden fees.
Next stop, hidden fees!
Want to take back control of your retirement income? Just get off at the next stop. And tune in to the Total Financial Hour with host Arif Halaby, Sundays at 11 a.m. Learn about your financial power on the Total Financial Hour, Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 870 The Answer.
The Total Financial Hour is sponsored by TFS Financial Insurance Services and Total Financial Solutions, Inc.
The information on this show is not intended to be the primary basis for investment decisions and should not be used to provide financial advice. Please obtain the guidance of a financial professional regarding your particular financial concerns. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This program reflects the views of Arif Halaby, California Insurance License 0B93792 of TFS Financial Insurance Services. TFS Financial Insurance Services, California Insurance License Number 0F22477, provides retirement income strategies using insurance and annuity products, which are guaranteed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power.
I'm Arif Halaby, the Total Financial Hour, talking about your family's finances, of course, getting out of debt, managing money, trying to plan for the future. I've got a few things that I want to touch on today. So consider this like the tapas menu, right? Have you ever been to a restaurant? It's a tapas menu. You get a little taste of a lot of things. I'm going to spend the first half an hour with a taste. And in my opinion, the taste is worth it for a couple of reasons. First of all, electric cars. You know, I have said that they are beyond incredible when it comes to technology. I told you I test drove a Tesla. I don't know if I mentioned this to you at one point, and they gave it to me for an extended period of time, and I was back and forth deciding which one to get. This is probably maybe two or three cars ago, so it's right when they first came out, quite a long time ago, and I was serious about it. Years ago, I thought this was, and I still think it's an amazing vehicle, until I saw a news story the weekend I happened to be driving it, and it said that at any time in the world, for safety, remember that? Right, this was all pre-COVID. It was for safety. They could have put it in, it's for the safety, and it's for the children. That they can listen to what's going on inside of your car, turn on a camera inside of your car, and shut your car off anytime, anywhere in the world. I thought, wait. Are you kidding me? It's my car. I'm the one paying for it. Who's paying for this thing? I didn't rent it. It's not like Beyonce's latest song that I can only listen to. I don't really own. Right? This is a car. I paid for it. It's over. It's mine. What do you mean you can shut it off anywhere in the world unless I tell you? No, is the answer. Right? It all started with LoJack. You remember that? LoJack years ago was tracking your cars. And when I was in the police department, we had one of the first LoJack hits, actually. And we were up in like Bel Air, Brentwood. I was working West LA Division. And right when we were in this particular area, we would get a ping. Like, ding, there it is. And it would give you a direction and a little bit of a distance finder. So you'd get generally close. The problem was there were hills, and we were literally up in the mountains off Laurel Canyon, all up in the Hollywood, Brentwood Hills kind of thing, and we're driving around. I had a couple of units, three, four units. We're all searching, ping, 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 trying to figure out where it is. Turns out it was in South Central LA, but it was picking it up from that distance because we were at a high location. It was low. But then you started hearing that there were ways to do automatic shutoff where you could do kill switches. And you thought, oh, that's kind of nice. Shut the engine off. Today, this was years ago. I mean, well, the police department was 25 years ago, 30 years ago. But the idea of Teslas today being able to shut things off, turn on interior cameras, I just didn't want to buy one. Why do I give that control to somebody? Even if you swear, sign here, raise your right hand, tell me for sure, for sure, for sure, you're never going to do it. What, Chinese hackers that haven't done things before? Oh, it's against the law. What do you mean? It's already against the law to murder, and you guys keep trying to ban guns. You realize when you ban a gun, it doesn't affect the murderer. He goes, oh, man, I was going to kill somebody, but since you made assault weapon / big magazines illegal, I guess I can't do it anymore. Right? That's the same logic behind, oh, well, since you signed a law, state / Congress, governor, whoever, that you're not going to shut my car off or listen to what I'm saying inside of my car. Because you call it, ready for this? Hate speech. Hate speech. There's no such thing. It doesn't even exist. It's like saying, hey, do you have one of those up downs? How about a cold hot? Do you have a cold hot? No, no, no. I got a left right. Ah, left right, cold hot. Hate speech. It's exactly the same. There's either speech or they're quiet. If it's speech you don't agree with, it's called a you problem. Right? Turn the channel. Don't vote for that politician. Don't go to that class. Don't sit in that seminar at your university. There's no such thing as hate speech. They don't put in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights freedom of speech as long as you like it. Why would you have to do that? It's not even a thing. Told you were going to get your tapas menu. So, hey, here it is. Hertz CEO resigns this last week after his push to buy Tesla fleet backfires. You have Honda, Nissan, Toyota, much more pragmatic owners, less political. I didn't say not political. I just said less political than the American automakers. And they said, listen, we're going to start cutting back our electric vehicles. We're just not going to push them as much. Oh, in addition to all of that, in case you didn't know, the Charger and Challenger. Remember, we were saying goodbye to the beefy 8-cylinder, and I think they had 6-cylinders as well. Big cars. Oh, look at, by Detroit automakers. Oh, they're bringing them back too now. You see, the same thing that you and I and other intelligent people have said, or at least just people that were, I don't know, conscious, said, wait a second, we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the electric grid. If you're going to charge your car and I'm not against electric cars, but I want you to be clear, whether you have a Lucid or the Riveni, whatever that is, the nice truck, doesn't matter what you have. They can shut it off anywhere in the world. They can turn on a microphone and listen to you. All it takes is somebody to complain that you have hate speech, and they can say, sorry, you can't drive more than a certain amount of miles. Sorry, you are leaving your perimeter. Turn around. You have a quarter of a mile to turn around. Go back to your zone. You may not drive. Do you know they can do that with the electric cars today? You can put, it's called geofencing. Again, I'm not against electric cars. I love them. I love the technology. In fact, it's probably one of the best automobiles I've ever driven. But that power should belong to me and me only if I paid for it. If I'm driving your car, then okay, you can shut it off if I take your car and you don't tell me it could. Or a teenager drives the car and you say, hey, you could only go to school and come back. And it notifies you, hey, your teenager drove outside of your geofencing. They're heading to the park that you didn't want them to go hang out with. Got it. Come back. You realize that? Some of the problems. This push that government has so that what can turn on the cars? You guys already have it. You have the Alexa. Hey, Google. Alexa. Remember those? Some of you just had them turn on. You're like, wait, shut them off, shut them off. Do you realize in order for them to hear the word Alexa, they have to be listening all the time. In order for them to hear the word, hey, Google, you have to be listening to everything. If you think technology is the answer, the beds, right? Some of my favorite, I have the bed that goes up and down from all my back issues as a policeman. So I have that, it lifts up a bit. Amazing invention, by the way. But there's a model that you can get where it monitors your sleep and it reports it back. And then it tells you, hey, here is your sleep score and on and on. And you look at that and you go, wait a second, what does it do? Oh, it can also tell you what your nighttime activities is with your partner. Huh? I'm supposed to have a third party monitor my nighttime activities in my private bedroom with my partner? And you guys think by having Alexa or Google in the bedroom, in the bathroom, in the house, it always listens to you. It's bad enough with your cell phone or your computer. You know that. There are settings that you can adjust on them, but really? My friends in the three-letter agencies have said for years how they just turn on these phones. That's how they found a lot of these people in Afghanistan and Iraq. Right? They would turn on the phone, turn on the camera. Even if the phone was off, by the way, they would turn on the microphone. Oh, I shut it off. Oh, I pulled the battery out. That's a good one. They always said that was funny because they could hear people say, okay, pull the battery out. But you know that it keeps the calendar, it keeps the time up to date. You understand that it does that. How? Because it has a capacitor. I don't want to get too technical because I'm basically telling you just about all the electrical knowledge I have. It's done, almost done. But it stores some of the energy still in the phone. So it would give them 15 minutes or whatever the time would be, 10, 15, 20 minutes of listening, even if the battery was out. Why do you think somebody could be in Edwards Air Force Base or Los Angeles Air Force Base and send a missile, fly a drone, send a missile in some cave somewhere in the middle of Afghanistan? Because they heard you. Look, I think we've passed the point of no return. These devices that we have in our pockets, in our purse, in our home, on our wrist. But many of you have said, nah, you know what, I'm pretty good with my pickup trucks. I'm pretty good with my four-door sedan. I like my Mercedes or BMW or my Honda Accord. I like it just the way it is. No thanks. Good, I'm good. Maybe the answer is a hybrid to get a little more miles out of it. I don't know. But when you can shut off my car from across the land, kind of have a turn on, listen to me and my wife argue, listen to me on a phone conversation, listen to me talk to my kids about my disappointment with the government, and all of a sudden I'm on somebody's hate speech, something we thought would never happen. And the People's Republic of Canada are currently locking up people for saying things against abortion clinics, for saying things for holding a sign. In England, you go to jail if you stand across the street with no sign, no words, and you're nodding your head and praying. Do you understand how archaic? Iran, the mullahs of Iran think this is like, wow, we didn't even think this is a thing. Great Britain, you guys could actually, somebody bows their head and you can arrest them. You passed a law for that? Holy moly. Iran yells, hey, everybody, let's get back to work. I don't know what we're doing, but we're not crafting these anti-people freedom laws fast enough. Look at Great Britain. Have you seen Canada, by the way? The mullahs all get together. We can actually go in and take money from their bank accounts if they stood in line to protest. What? You can force them to debank, to be unbanked. Why do you think we had Old Glory Bank on last week? Old Glory Bank, you've heard me talk about them. I mentioned to you I'm an investor in it now. I believe in it. You don't have to be. It doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you, it's a pro-human being, pro-freedom, pro-American. Not left or right. Because today, even Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in his first term wouldn't even be nominated by today's Democrat Party. Did you know that? I'm not a fan of either of those two gentlemen. But they were elected president not once, but twice. And the first term Barack Obama and the two-term Bill Clinton would have never been nominated, let alone elected now. How quickly? I mean, the men are still alive. It isn't as if we're talking about James Madison. You guys remember James Madison? Oh, yeah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody right now today who's still alive, who's still here, this person. Yep. And the president, poor president. I mean, what do you do when you're on the record for so long? You have to hide things. You would think, wait, I got an idea. What if Google and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, what if they were all kind of, I don't know, in cahoots with your side and they could bury Barack Obama's first year candidacy? What if they could bury the conversations he had during his first midterm? Right where he was trying to keep from losing the House and the Senate on some level. That's incredible. How could that happen? So part of this is you guys to understand, to have the same values come heck or high water. I want you to check them. I want you to check them against the Bible or the Constitution. I want you to check them against whatever you hold dear. There are great Americans that are from the Muslim faith. There are great Americans that are Hindu. There are great Americans that are Buddhist. So whatever you use as a foundation, you check that against what? Against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You check it to make sure what we're doing is when I say you, me and you, that our values are in line with what are supposed to be, not our feelings. Right? Your feelings are mildly interesting. Certainly they're important to your loved ones. But your feelings are not important to how to interpret the Constitution or the Bible. So I just want you to be clear on this. Your family needs to understand, you have to understand that if you do or don't buy something, that it's a form of protest, it's a form of speech, because you're shopping at a particular store or you're buying a particular product. I still think Elon Musk is a good guy. I'm not saying he isn't. I am just not willing to go that distance. I'm not willing to put a Chevy Volt or a Rivian in my driveway. I'm just not. I think they're amazing vehicles as far as driving close to town. You can't go too far with them. The Ford pickup truck, beautiful car. My gosh, is it fast? I don't know how well it hauls items in its bed, but it's a great vehicle. It's not the vehicles, and it's not even you. Right? I know one listener was quite upset. Arif, you said that solar panels are evil. And so I must be evil. No. The technology is evil because we developed it without a solution to recycle it. And we are now at the 20 to 25 year mark, which is the lifespan of a solar panel. And now there is some, I just saw recently, there is some sort of recycling plant somewhere. I want to say it's out in the middle of the desert because that's what they do. They dump everything out in Riverside and San Bernardino County, it seems. And so they have something out there in the desert that is recycling. A fraction of a fraction of the solar panels that end up in waste bins, landfills, trash dumps. So it's nice. Good. Okay, good. Yay. We can clap. Good job. Yes. You're 20 years too late, but hey, at least you're here. So I don't know where we're going to store all of these windmills and solar panels and batteries, because we have to do something with them, right? Tesla vehicles crash just like all the other vehicles, so you got to recycle the batteries. Look, it's an amazing technology. I wish somehow, somewhere, there was a way to physically, not with a code, physically disengage the "you can't hear me in my car" conversation. You can't shut my car off anywhere in the world. If I could do that, one of you might know that. Maybe you say, oh yeah, if it's modular 7XA, got it. If you know that exists, let me know and I'll be telling you something different. Right now, try to say something against the government in your home with Alexa or Google, and I promise you it is listening and it saves it. They will tell you they don't. We now know they're lying. 100% of the conversations that go on in your home, around your cell phone, around your iPad, your tablet, it's stored. So just be mindful. Make decisions accordingly. Make decisions of what kind of technology you want to have in your home. Because financially speaking, all it takes is a couple of bad moves and you can be ruined. That's why it's important you make the right decisions. Right? Not the right decisions that end up leading towards somebody else's having a financial freedom, financial security. This is your life. And I don't even mean for your children. I like your children. But you have to build a financial life for you and your family first. And then as your family grows up and moves on, it's now you and your spouse. And if your spouse passes away, it's now you. That's always the tip of the spear. I know, listen, from an ethnic family, from my dad being from Lebanon, you always see a very sacrificial position that the parents seem to take for the kids and for others and grandkids. My point is, you've given them the greatest gift ever, and that is citizenship in the United States, which gives freedoms, as tenuous as they are, that very few other places have. So just keep that in mind. All right, after the break, I want to touch on a couple things, and then I have your emails at the top of the hour. Wait till you hear this week's emails. I think you'll be shocked, at least on one of them. After the second hour, after the break, I want to cover this. Let me pull it back up here. Yeah. It's what I call having a test run in retirement and a test run if you move. So here's what we are getting. A lot of clients that have retired are unretiring. We call it untired. A lot of clients that are moving again. Rarely back to California, mostly to just another red state. So how do you prevent the costs that go with it, both in moving, period, and the emotional cost? Starting all over again. Okay, so these are very important components that we're going to cover at the bottom of the hour. All right, I'm going to continue with one more thing. I think this is important. If you have not noticed, and again, I'm all for Elon Musk. I want you to know that. I love his ability to stand up to dummies. But it's his Don Lemon interview that went out this week. You have to listen to it. It's quite, you've never seen anybody so stupid as Don Lemon. I don't know. It has to be, because he's not a dumb guy, right? He's not an uneducated person. He just has to be so full of himself to think that he is so important that he can be so rude and disrespectful. Now he'll say, I'm just a journalist. No, you're rude and disrespectful, right? Comedians will say, oh, I'm just being a comedian. No, that passed the line. You're rude and disrespectful. Oh, but I'm a comedian. What are you, you're just not liking jokes? Nope. You're rude and disrespectful. There's lines. Listen, comedians can go a little further. No question about it. Journalists can go a little further than you at the dinner party. No question about it. A drunk uncle can go a little further because you know it's not him speaking as much as it is the alcohol. I got it. But Don Lemon seemed to be sober. He didn't crack one joke. So he's down the road of journalist. And the way he treated Elon Musk, by the way, his employer that was paying him a lot of money, he still thinks that he's important. Number one. Number two is he still thinks the standard media is important. And it isn't. It's over. Look at the ratings that CNN has. Have you seen them? Take a look at them and then take a look at Nickelodeon and then see how many. Barney gets a lot more ratings than CNN. Look at MSNBC. The amount of money. Listen, those two agencies are the ones that are going to win the greatest. They are going to make the most money this year because President Trump is still on the ballot. It just is. Barack Obama was a godsend. Bill Clinton, before that, a godsend to Fox News. Bill Clinton is the reason Fox News exists. You know that. It would be just a blip in the radar. You'd have to flip to page 79 in the history books. There it is. Yep, there it is. Fox News existed for a short bit. But Bill Clinton came along and made it so Fox News exists. Barack Obama propelled him to record heights. My point is, have you ever met anybody so dumb, so out of touch, narcissistic, lack of self-awareness? I mean, I can go on, but you have to watch it. He didn't intend to be funny, but it is hilarious. Elon Musk interview Don Lemon. We'll help Don Lemon out just for one little minute by getting him some more ratings. Stay with me after the break. I'm Arif Hallaby. The Total Financial Hour, 888-99-RETIRE, 888-997-3847. Stay with me on AM 870 The Answer. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Hallaby.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Arif Hallaby, the Total Financial Hour, your place for news, talk, and information. And we are talking about your family's finances, getting out of debt, managing money. How do you spend your money? How do you spend your money in retirement? For a lot of people, it's buying that car. I mentioned that in the first half hour. Think about this, though. If you plan on moving in retirement, I want you to understand, it's interesting having Presto Logistics commercial run, because I'm always skeptical of moving companies. Maybe they're a great one. I'll pull them up. Check it out. I think it's interesting. Here's why. Most of the time, my experience with my clients and moving companies is you have to be very cautious because they will bill you over and over. They will broker out and then they will hold your stuff hostage. One or all of those things seem to happen no matter what. So be very careful. All right. I want to continue though. If you plan on moving, what are you going to do? Right now, you're going to move to a different state. You decided you're done. Maybe you're in your 40s or your 60s or your 70s. How do you make sure that if you do move, that you're going to move to a place that you like? So I want to lay out a little bit of a roadmap so that you can get to the place where you are ready to retire. What does it look like? And how do you make sure that it's the right place to go? First of all, I don't want you to just sell your home here. A lot of people say, oh, I'm just going to sell my house. If you can have the best of both worlds, which is to keep it, maybe keep it empty, or have a nephew or somebody that you know or trust staying there, knowing you're never going to collect rent from them, because as much as they promise, I'm going to move three of my friends in. We're going to go to college together. We're going to stay here. My three buddies. No, thank you. Right? I almost have never seen that go well. I've seen holes in walls and disrespect to the house and just amazing, amazing damage. And so with all of that, what do you do? Well, if you can rent it out to a cousin, nephew, son or daughter for a very short period of time, 6 months or a year, while you decide if it's right for you to move there, I want you to do a practice retirement, practice move. So wherever you go, you're going to rent for 6 months, right? Foreclosures are coming. There's massive amounts of foreclosures in certain cities as we look across the country. And as that's beginning to happen, it's affecting a lot of areas. So maybe waiting an extra 6 months could get you a good deal depending on the city that you go to and the type of home you want. So foreclosures are coming around the corner. We know that. We also know at the same time that what you're looking at is an unfamiliar area. Now, if you've been traveling there for the last 10 years and you know what's happening on the north side or the south, or your friends are over here, your church is over there, whatever it is, you're going to use that as an opportunity for you to decide where to live. What side of the town or the country countryside should you live in? I want you to go through one of the winters. You see, a lot of people got head faked in Boise, Idaho, and it's an Eagle and Caldwell, the surrounding areas. Boise has a left-wing mayor that's a nut job, but besides that. So if you're looking at this place as an option, in other words, Boise, Last year, would I say the head fake was? Simple. It was a very mild winter, 2022. Mild. People like, oh, this isn't bad. Ha, 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 this isn't bad. Friends in Boise that lived there for years said, you know, man, I wish it was worse. It was the best winter ever. We have people moving from Southern California, San Diego, Orange County. They think it's great. Well, not for 2023-2024 winter. Suddenly the snow arrived and people went, hello? Yes, surprise, surprise, snow is here. And so it really began to impact decisions, and a lot of people have decided to sell. That's not what they want, right? Or they've just chosen not to move there at all. So I want you to go there and go through a winter, see how humid the summers are. If you're from Southern California, you forget how humid Florida is compared to us. We are a very dry, we're the desert. We may have a lot of trees and water fountains and other things happening in the valley or in LA, but that's not what's happening naturally. You know, 20, 30% humidity, 40% humidity, and you're like, oh, it's so humid. Go to the south, go to Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, beautiful places. Green, I want green. Okay, you good, you get green. But with green comes humidity or lots of rain and snow. So what's your trade-off? You might say, I was born there. I like it. Wonderful. Should you be on the east coast of Florida or the west? They're different people. They always say that Florida itself on the Atlantic side, right, the east coast, is very similar to New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. It's those folks because it just came straight down the highway. And if you look on the other side, on the Gulf Coast of Florida, you have a lot of Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. A lot of folks that have relocated there because what did they do? Come straight down the highway. There wasn't a lot of freeways or highways that bisected Florida. You either had to really go up and go come down, or you didn't have this crisscrossing. Today, they're building a lot more. For sure they are. So you can go from east to west rather simply. I mean, it still takes time. You're still flying over the peninsula there. You got to get over. But it's still a beautiful state, but it's humid. Right? I've been there in July. I've been there many times, different times a year. But go outside in July. You're going to feel it. So is that where you want to live? My point is I want you to do a practice retirement. So what do? You go there and you check out the doctors. If you have a specialty or a specialist, see what they're like there. Do they have them? Are you still having to drive 2.5 hours away for your specific specialty? Okay, so this is important. Wherever you move, it has to fit most, if not all. I don't know about all. Some of you are willing to give up certain things. But that test run really makes a difference. You follow me? Really makes a difference. Next, I want you to see the people that are there. The people are different in different parts of this country. I spend time because my kids live in different states. I spend time in different states. People are friendly. They say thank you and please. No kidding. They take hats off most of the time when they walk into buildings or restaurants. Here, people wear hats in church and nobody says anything because you don't want to scare them away. But that's not how I grew up in church as an 18-year-old, right? I was told, hey, take your hat off. But if you're an unsaved person, you walk into a church and everybody's yelling at you and you're a 17 or 22-year-old young man and they're yelling at you taking off your hat, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not coming back. These guys are jerks. So I get it. I get both ways. But my point is it's ingrained in them because their mom and dad told them at 2 years old and then 5 and then 7. Different people. They let you in when you pull out of a driveway onto a busy street. They stop and let you in. People say hello. At first, I'm like, what? I remember, I was like, what'd you say? Like, you're going to fight. No, I was just saying, hi, how are you? I was like, oh, fine. How are you? Right? You're like, then you feel stupid. And you're like, oh, no, never mind. Hey, let's just go this way. But I thought we were going that way. No, no, no. That person's going that way. I just want them to leave. I don't want them to see me. I feel dumb. How many times do people put little signs on their car when they rent cars in those areas? They're getting their car worked on. And little signs in their car say, it's a rental, because it has a California license plate. It's a rental. right? So there's different, it's tangible. You can feel it. You're going to do a test run. The second thing I want you to do is to live on the budget accordingly. So transfer everything. Your license, your voter registration, prescriptions, hair, nails, dog, groomer, everything. See what it's like financially to live there. So no longer are they withholding California state income tax. They're holding out whatever, if any, income tax that state has. Can you live on your Social Security the way you want, and your pension, and withdrawing from your annuities and your retirement accounts? Can you live the way you want to live? Now, what if you guys need part-time work? A lot of people want to still work. Maybe they don't need to. Maybe it's not a financial thing, right? They don't do it because they have to work. A lot of people do it because they want to work. So what if you're in one of those positions? Now you walk around and you say, hey, you know what? I actually like it here, but they pay $15 an hour, $20 an hour. They don't pay much. How do I stay on track financially? Oh, you can do it. As long as you understand that in order to live, you're going to have to financially cut back. Well, do you want to cut back? Okay, so each one of these things gives you an idea of whether or not you're going to financially live. If you are, then you have to ask yourself, is this where people that I love will come and visit? Will my family come back? Will they come and visit? If they won't, then you have to learn or at least decide if you're going to have a life alone without them. And if that's okay, if you say, listen, there isn't a local airport, they're going to have to go 6 hours flying by changing planes once or twice, it's going to be too difficult. Most people aren't going to make it, right? So you're going to have that experience where you decide yes or no. All right, next. Why does this matter a lot to you? Because in your life, you're going to create this next chapter. Because if you did it right, your kids are fine. If you did it right, your kids are going to survive. But maybe, just maybe, they're not going to do it right. Maybe, just maybe, you have to still help your kids. Can you do that from there? I don't mean lazy son of a guns, refuse to get work. I don't mean lazy son of a guns that live on disability and sit there and, you know, are ne'er-do-wells, try maybe sort of. Right? I mean kids that go get educated and go back to school. I don't care. Listen, I'm good with you trying and then backing up and trying again and then going forward and trying again. That's what you're supposed to do. You know that, right? You're supposed to, oh, I wanted to be an engineer. Nope, don't like that. Next, how about a computer? Nope, don't like that. How about a marketing? Oh, hey, there's my niche. Got it. But sitting at home playing video games or watching the next season of Friends or whatever they're doing, that's not your responsibility. Okay, follow the difference? It's not your responsibility. All right, so how do we decide when we're building this next phase of your life? Well, you do the next thing. You drive through a winner. I'm just telling you what I see. Like, whoa, I didn't know how to put on chains. Oh, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Oh, wait a second. I didn't know that. Right? That's scary. When the I didn't know. I don't drive when it's that rain. What do you mean monsoons? Have you ever seen monsoons, by the way, in the Phoenix, Tempe, Queen Creek? Have you ever seen monsoons in Vegas? Just watch the nightly news. You'll see people on top of cars. They tell you, don't drive through. This area floods. Well, guess what? Had you lived there through a season, you would know this is not the intersection to drive through. That's why locals back up and go around. Visitors or newcomers go down through this ditch. Oh, surprise, it's 4 feet flooded, and your car starts floating down the road. Right? You got to drive through something like that. Can you handle it? Many of you, of course, are getting older, not younger. And so your experience decides. How about this? Ooh, you ready for this? This is wild. I remember seeing this recently. Somebody tried to move to Florida, buy a house down in Florida. You know what happened? Yeah, called homeowner's insurance. Was more than the mortgage of the house. I mean, you understand that? Mortgage of the house was $1,100 a month. All of their insurances, $1,200 a month. That's just not a small amount of money. You have to ask yourself, who's going to pay for that? Because good news is you can pay off your house. When do you pay off your property taxes? Never. Can you say Texas? When do you pay off your homeowner's insurance? Never. Can you say Florida? I'm not saying don't move there. In fact, I think it's a great place to go. But go when you know. Go when you're practicing. Okay, that's what it's all about. Figure out what that cost is. Last thing I want you to do is understand construction. I'll give you a good example. My daughter went to school in a southern state, very humid. Bought a house for her. I mean, it was less money than room and board. Let's put it that way. So she had roommates, paid for everything, right? Three roommates, her. It's a great little gig. But the difference is this. The moss, the algae or whatever they call it that grows on the roof tiles. I'm thinking, what is that green stuff? Oh, you have to get that cleaned off every year. Really? Every year? Oh, yeah, because it'll eat up your roof tiles. Oh, and then the north side of the house during the winter time when it's wet. But when it is... You have to power wash it. You have to clean. Oh, I didn't know that. You see, if you grew up there, you understand these things. You don't plant this bush next to this house, or you don't, have tree branches that close to. I mean, you get it? There are some local things that you don't even know you know. And then we're like, uh-oh, that's an extra cost we didn't budget for. We didn't think that was a thing. Sure is. So now you got to work on that. So the pipes of some areas you have to be aware of, right? Copper pipes, everybody thought they were the rage until they're so noisy through your home. You're thinking, what the heck is going on? Is that a waterfall in my walls? Because galvanized pipes were a lot quieter, but they plug up over time with hard water. I mean, and you get my idea. I'm not a construction genius. I just want to throw these ideas at you because here's what happens. You come to ARIF, Total Financial. We manage an amazing portfolio for you for income strategies and safety. Life is great. You go and I'm selling everything and I'm moving to pick the state. Doesn't matter. And you go there. And because we're licensed in that state, because we're licensed in nearly every state, we're still talking. We're still working through Zoom, FaceTime, whatever it might be. We're working together, meeting regularly, phone calls. You might pop into town to see a child or grandchild or something. Great. You'll come into the office. Life is good. 6 months or a year goes by and you say, you know what? We thought Montana, we thought Wyoming, we thought Colorado Springs was the place to be. And they're beautiful places. My gosh, you guys. But the winters are just too tough. And I slipped and fell in the ice. Or the winters are just too tough. And I couldn't drive for 3 days because the roads and the driveway and on. Right? I won't even buy a driveway that has a steep part in it. If you guys, right, if you're buying a house in a place that gets snow or ice or gets very cold, don't buy a driveway unless you can run heat underneath it. And yes, they have those. Where you can run hot water through pipes underneath your driveway and it keeps it from freezing up because you can't get up there for months, weeks if it's frozen. That means you now have to park at the bottom of the hill. So you get the idea. So what you do is you come back to my office and you say, hey, Arif, we need to sell the house. Well, that's a 10% cost. The moment you buy a house, you've immediately lost 10%. So let's be clear on this. You bought a $40,000 house. You immediately lost $400,000 house. $40,000. You bought a $400,000 house. You immediately lost $40,000. Why? Arif, no. Why? Well, because you have fees, real estate fees, commissions, sales costs, marketing costs, title, escrow, insurance. If you want to turn around and flip it and sell it, you're going to have a cost associated with it. Now, you might tell me, hey, Eric, if it's gone up in value that much, I'm okay with that. I love it. Great idea. That's cool. But don't tell me that it didn't go up in value, right? Don't tell me that you're kind of in that position of trying to buy this thing and think that it went up in value, because it may not. Now, listen, if we have the market growing, and it's that crazy time when everything is just happening now, wonderful. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Do it. But what do you got to do 6 months later? You lose money. Then you have to pay to move, and the furniture doesn't fit in the next house. And then the backyard, and then you thought it was here, but now it's there. So here's what you do. You go there. You even may have to stay in a hotel. I know it stinks. Don't sell your house in California just yet. If you can rent it out, great. I don't like rents to strangers in California because they have all the rights and you don't. That's the yucky part with this state, believe it or not. I don't like the idea of keeping any rental property in California, especially if it's a mid-range, right? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. If you have a $17,000, $18,000, $25,000 a month house south of the boulevard, generally speaking, they have collateral. Generally speaking, they're professionals that are not going to lose their job or still have the money to pay. So I'm not worried about that. But the mid-range where people legitimately can lose their dollars, or it's all they qualify for because it's right on the edge, I just worry about that. Okay, what else? Very important if you're looking to relocate. You need to have relationships established. It could be your church. It could be a friend or a cousin. It could be a coworker who moved there. Have somebody somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to hold on to them forever as far as a relationship goes. It just means it's an entry point so that you're familiar with what to do and where to go. And, hey, I need to go to an urgent care. Oh, don't go to that one. They don't have regular doctors there. They only have, you know, new PAs or a brand new doctor who's not very good. Or, you know, whatever. They'll know those things. Go over here to this one. Or this is the dentist for you. He's great. So you can get a lot of those recommendations. So very important you take a look at that. Next and last part that I think is key for most of you is car repair. You understand how important car repair is? Because when you have a proper car, we have one that we have gone to, it must be 20 years, right? Ace Automotive. I've put that in Santa Clarita. I've put that guy on the air a few times. I love him. Very dry when he speaks because he's not comfortable with the radio. I get it. I think it's funny to me because they're not that way in person, you know. But everybody's afraid of the radio. I get it. This microphone comes in front. But professional with our cars, somebody I trust, somebody who says you have to change this. I don't even ask what it is. I just go, okay, when will it be ready? Somebody who you want to be able to give your automobile to your keys and not worry they're going to steal your stuff, right? Those are relationships that you hold on to very close to, maybe just underneath, but very close to your doctor, somebody that you trust with your car. So you make sure, and that's why I'd like you to have relationships there already, because they will say, oh, if you have a Honda, that's the person. Oh, you have a German car? This is the place to go. Right, I had a place that I used to take my German car in our area. And you just felt like something was wrong somewhere. I'm like, you know what? It just feels like you're not telling me the truth. So finally, one day, I double-checked something. Because I don't have the time to do that. We're all busy. And I was like, you said it was $1,400 to fix something. The guy did it for $300. Sounds like you're a little fishy here, partner. Right? So sometimes you just don't like the yuckiness. So I love the automobile. And then last thing, I said that was the last thing, but this is more important. I thought about this as I think more important. And it's the veterinarian that you would take your pet to. right? The older we get, our kids have moved out. They've got their own lives. They're self-sufficient, doing well, we hope. Doing the best they can, we hope. That's what they're up to. But your dog is never going to be able to move out and go to work and care for themselves. It's you. They look in the mirror, they look at you, and they expect the best care. Whatever you can afford, whatever you can do, find a good veterinarian. Listen, anybody you know that wants to go into medicine, I'm telling you, there are not enough veterinarians right now. There's a lot of doctors, not a lot of veterinarians. In my opinion, they're some of the best folks out there. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Stay with me after the break. I have your emails. Amazing. One of them I think is going to be pretty shocking to you when we come back. I'm Arif Halaby. This is the Total Financial Hour. Stay with me after the break. 888-99-RETIRE. 888-997-3847. Grab your pen and paper, and I'll give you our email so that you can send in your question. We'll be right back.
Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial
Hour. Hey, welcome back to the show. Arif Halaby, the Total Financial Hour. Okay, I told you I would give you the email address. Sometimes I forget. I'm glad you're a part of the show. Thanks for being here. You guys matter a lot. You make this show possible. The amount of feedback, the good feedback, and questions. Sometimes you guys will send comments or criticisms, sometimes kind, sometimes not. And it doesn't matter, really. I appreciate all of them, and I respect them all as well. Doesn't mean I'm always going to change to it, right? I take it under consideration, take your point of view. I actually do. And then we consider, you know, let's make a change or let's not, or let's modify slightly, or let's be clearer on something. So anyway, big deal. And I appreciate you a lot. You make this show, make this practice a big part of our lives. Okay. So I wanted to cover something with you. Before I get to the emails, this is important. There are a lot of us on a regular basis who think that the decisions that you make don't affect others. Now, that's not true. And even when if I bring it up to you like this and I say, oh, the decisions, you know, that you make actually affect others, you go, oh, yes, 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 of course, of course, of course, of course. But it's bigger than that. The decisions you make in life, if you want relationships that are deep, have to take into account other people. And I see that over and over again when people choose to move, when people make decisions to relocate. So just know that. Know that it impacts those relationships. So just be careful. I just wanted to share that from the last hour. If you are considering moving, and I think for a lot, listen, you know who I envy the most in this world, in this area? Not in everything, but in this. It's when one of them, it could be the oldest son, the only daughter, it could be the parents, whoever it is, somebody moves to an area. And everybody else follows. Not in the same neighborhood, not in the same street, you know, but 20 minutes this way, 5 minutes that way, 10 minutes here. That really, I think to me, makes all the difference. As somebody who has kids that are in different states, three different states. So that matters a lot to me. And I don't know, we didn't come out that lucky, at least not at this phase. They're all still relatively young. So they're still kind of going through that and working through that. So I get it. But just know that in that world, if you're somebody who's blessed to have some or even most of your family move, I had a client recently, everybody moved to, I want to say it was the Phoenix area, I think Surprise, Northern Arizona. And the daughter was still in the Northwest. And I don't know, they were probably there a year in the Arizona area. And finally, one of them says, hey, guess who's moving? She's having her second child and they're all moving. He lost his job. So there's plenty of work down here. So they moved down here. So anyway, things like that can happen as well. If it's by yourself, if it's just you, then good luck to you. I think you can do it. Okay. So here is something I want to share with you that I think is pretty important. Okay, this is somebody who I've sent an email some time back, been dealing with her on the side, right, working with it. But I want to read you the original email, and then I want to read you the other parts, of course, my answers, and then what we actually did for her. Okay, so because this email was sent some time ago, some things have changed a little bit over time, but this email was the impetus for us to say, hey, maybe you should pop in, maybe we can help you, okay? Here it is. Dear Arif, I'm a recent widow, and I've been dealing with the settling of my husband's affairs. Boy, has this been more than I have ever thought it would be. He handled most of our financial affairs of our family, and I managed the household and the children. He had a pension from his job. He retired 7 years ago, and that led to us having to make a choice on how to take his pension benefits. I remember that we have chosen the 100% option. That should give me the same amount that he was earning. I also have an IRA that I was required to start withdrawing at age 73, which was last year. I heard I may not be receiving my Social Security check anymore. Can you tell me what may happen to my Social Security check next month? Also, the house is in both of our names. Do I have to do something with it in order to make sure that no one takes it away from me? Does it make sense to put my kids directly as beneficiaries? All right, so I'm going to call her Sue. Here's why, guys, this is important. Why I said it breaks my heart is this. Because she's worried about someone taking her home from her. She's a widow now, and she's worried about someone taking her home. You realize that's the last thing I ever want you to worry about when it comes to your children, when it comes to your family. That's where you should be concerned. That's what you should be thinking about. My word. So we reached out right away. Again, this was some time ago. Here's what we found out, a couple of things. But before I do, I want to read you what we would do if this was you before the details of her particular life, okay? Number one, in the world of Social Security, if you work at a job where you also pay into Social Security and you have a pension, right? A good example is some school workers, counselors, other types of school employees, rarely school teachers, mostly school workers, like what we call classified employees. Okay, you work as a manager in the cafeteria, you work as a counselor, principal, certain things like that could have both a pension and you put into Social Security. The post office is a great example. Mail carriers or supervisors, people that are postmasters, right, in charge of a post office, you're called a postmaster. So things, jobs like that, that drive down where you put in and you receive, then there is no withholding back from Social Security. The other part to consider in Social Security world, we just did a seminar. We had a great speaker come out, and it filled up quickly, two nights. And we had a waiting list of, I think, enough to hold another night. So in about a month or so, we're going to be putting together another Social Security seminar just because, listen, for you guys, this is a real big deal, and I want to make sure that we bring you all of that information. So if you want to attend our Social Security seminar, we hold them at different places, Burbank, Glendale, Santa Clarita, Simi Valley sometimes. Okay, so the phone number is 888-997. That's 888-997-3847. Tell them you want to go on the list for the next Social Security seminar. All right, here's why this matters for her. Because if she was receiving Social Security and now she receives the spousal benefit, her husband's pension, they may end up having to take back some of her Social Security, which is horrible. Because now you go married filing jointly with both standard deductions, so you can have $26,000, $27,000 tax-free for the first year, to now you have only a pension income. Remember, when they tax Social Security, they only tax about half to as much as 85% of it. So it's not income that is 100% taxable. For most people, sometimes none of it is taxable, but most people it's about half. But why does that matter? Because now she loses the favorable taxation of Social Security, loses the favorable tax world retirement income. Married filing jointly, now single, no second standard deduction. And now she has a pension, which is the same amount her husband received. Very, very nice to have that. It's a blessing. It's a good choice, guys. Many of you are going to be considering, do I take the pension? Do I give up a little bit each month and then take the lower pension so when I die, my wife gets the same amount or my husband receives the same amount? Yes, in my recommendation, most of the time, that's the best option. Now, if you both have a pension and you both have, let's say it's a government pension, and it's a really good one in the sense that you could probably live on most, if not all of it, then you both should take 100%. If you can live on just your pension and your spouse dies and you lose it, fine. But before you make that decision, do the math. What if you both took the 100% for the other person? Right? In other words, instead of $6,000 a month, you get $5,200 a month. So she receives $5,200, you receive $5,200. You both pass away. Instead of receiving $6,500 or $6,000, whatever the higher number is, you both receive the $5,200, meaning your income doesn't change. Your taxes will change, but your income don't change. I love that. All right. Next, Sue, I would have recommended, had we covered this on the air, that you have a revocable living trust. Put the kids as beneficiaries, especially on real estate. You have to have that. For some of you, say, oh, I don't have a whole lot. I just have a pension. Oh, I don't have a whole lot. I just have Social Security and I have my retirement account. And I put my kids down on my retirement account as beneficiaries, so they should be fine. That's true. Oh, but Arif, I also put my, I have my house. I just put my daughter on the house just in case. No. I want the trust to own the house. So when the living trust owns the house, now you bypass something called probate. The thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars that you would pay for probate, it's not worth it. Better for you to do one thing. Have the revocable living trust own the house and the kids as the beneficiary. I don't mind you guys using beneficiary-driven items like 401ks and IRAs, life insurance. I'm good with those being bypassing the trust and going directly to the beneficiaries. In fact, usually we recommend that. No problem. Where I have a problem with it is this. When you go down the road and you make the kids the beneficiary of everything, and then you put your daughter on your bank account, and then you put your son as a joint owner on the house, the taxes that both of you, all of you, will end up paying is something you may not even comprehend until it's too late. So please make sure, if you're going to be doing that, that you do it in a way where you've consulted your financial professional, consult your CPA, consult your tax attorney or your trust attorney. And one of the things that I've noticed a lot of is for some reason, people tend to do this thing where they have their spouse is great at something. My husband is a good mechanic, a wonderful engineer. My wife is incredible at real estate. She's a brilliant loan officer. Got it. But it doesn't mean they know what they're doing in this world. So you have to make sure you deal with professionals. Right? You don't have to work with me. Maybe you don't like us. That's fine. But work with somebody. You need to have that. Right? I don't do my own dental work. Right? I'm the one that carry around the teeth. I know them better than anybody, but I still don't do it. I still have a professional clean my teeth. You understand? So here's what we ended up doing. Number one is we had her trust redone. All right. She did have a living trust, but we had it redone. That means an attorney sat down with her that only does living trusts. He didn't have any kind of, oh, I do bankruptcies on Thursdays and on Tuesdays I'll do divorces. And by the way, today your lucky day, we do trust. No. This is a professional. And sometimes they cost a little bit of money. Yes, they do. Like you want a but I can do it through my union for $400. Okay. Guess what you get? It's the old you get what you pay for. Maybe it's the deal of the century. I don't know. And if you're broke or you're close to broke and you have to do things like that, then do it. It's called surviving. I'm with you. But if you've amassed a little bit of money or small fortune and you're worried about doing it the right way, please do it the right way. All right, next. She had about $600,000 in her retirement accounts, in her IRAs. That was a lot more money than she indicated. Well, she didn't even indicate anything on the email. But my assumption was, reading between the lines, it wasn't a substantial number. But it was over $600,000. So here's what we did. I took that $600,000. I looked at what the loss was going to be with the Social Security, because she did end up losing just under, or just, she lost just under half of what her Social Security check was. So I had the CPA give me a number of what her taxes were going to change to, so that I backed into the net-net, meaning yesterday she was taking home $6,000 a month. Tomorrow I want her to take home $6,000 a month. And so we had to increase the amount that she withdrew from her IRA so that we could make sure she still had the same money to spend each month. Very important to me. I didn't want her lifestyle to change. How did we use? Well, we called the CPA, the professional. Hey, Mrs. Tax Lady, what is the number? She says, oh, it's this much, this much. Got it. I do my math. I say, yep. We can make that happen. So I separated her accounts into a couple of places. One account's job was just that income. And it was designed to go up a little bit every year or so. That was it. That was the job of that money, to replace the income lost to the tax and the loss of Social Security percentage. Next, I took the other amount, put it a little bit more long term. And it was designed to be there to increase the amount she wanted to leave to her children if she passed away. But if she didn't pass away and she needed it for long-term care, we had that feature as well. So the same dollars, right? The money had two jobs to do. One, although it was $600,000, one of the portion of it, give me income so that that when my husband passed, I didn't lose anything as far as a net income. Second one, long-term care, just in case. Nobody knows how they're going to be active. We saw somebody the other day, 92 years old, still active. My wife was at the gym the other day. She said a 95-year-old was in the pool swimming laps and jumping off the blocks. What? Nobody knows how your life is going to be. There's 75-year-olds that can't walk without a walker, right? It's choices we make along our journey in our life. So how do you do it? Well, we have to plan. We have to have a plan B. So we do. We have a plan B. What else? Well, there was still a little money left over. I said, okay, the dust has settled. Your husband has passed. The kids are cared for, because that was a requirement of her. Her long-term care needs were cared for. Her income was cared for. I said, what about you? Well, what do you mean? Well, it sounds like your whole life you cared for your husband, you cared for your children, you cared for others. Now it's time to care about you. Well, Arif, I don't even know where to start. I can't even have this conversation with my children because it feels like I'm doing something wrong. I just feel guilty. I just feel like I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. So my point is, I don't want you to forget about you. I want to volunteer at that charity. I want to start taking painting classes. Right? It wasn't quite this age, but a friend of mine before she passed, her name was Marty Bell. I don't know if some of you have known her artwork. I love it. In fact, I love it a lot. I have a few pieces, quite a few. It's one of my favorite. It took me a long time to save for my first piece. I remember like a long time to save for my very first piece. It was a beautiful. And then she became a friend, her and her husband. Of course, now she's passed away. She had cancer in her mid-70s. Husband's a wonderful person. But one day I asked her, when I first met her, I saw a piece up on the wall, and it was of her granddaughter. Beautiful piece. I don't know, maybe 10 feet tall or something. And I said, that's amazing. How long did it take for you to paint that? She was probably 70 years old at the time. She said 35 years. So what? I mean, I know her granddaughter. Her granddaughter's not 35 years old. What do you mean 35 years? She said, Arif, however long it took me to paint that was because of the history I had, the experiences I had that led me to be able to paint this. So it's 35 years of experiences that led me to paint this. So if it took me, whatever, 2 hours, it doesn't mean it's going to take you, Arif, 2 hours. In 35 years from now, it'll take you 2 hours or 5 or 10 or whatever the number was. And so I share that with you because here she was at 35 years old. Hers became a painter. Very prolific one. Right? That's a big deal. It's not quite a career change in your 70s, but for a lot of 35-year-olds, you kind of thinking you're on your railroad tracks. You're set to go one direction. And yet we were ending up being blessed with beautiful artwork. So you can be 60, 70, 80, whatever, and change careers. You've heard me say this. Ray Kroc from McDonald's, 55 years old before he started McDonald's. Now, yes, it was there before. It had a few, 3 or 4 offices, but the systems, the franchises, all of that stuff, he was in his 50s. Why don't we have a picture of Colonel Sanders with brown hair or blonde, whatever his original color? Why is it white and he's holding a cane? Because he was in his mid-60s before he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, Arif, you said the F word. Don't say fried. It's KFC. Got it, KFC. Still delicious. It doesn't matter what you call it. KFC. You see, as a man, he had a career, raised his kids, family, provided for all the stuff he was supposed to do, and then said, you know, I do this, what was it, 11 spices and whatever it is, you guys, herbs and spices, 12 herbs, whatever it is. And he was sharing it with others, and they said, why don't you just open your own restaurant? He was selling the packets, like a pre-packet stuff. So Joe's restaurant down the street would dip the chicken in it and fry it. And they go, this is delicious. Oh, it's 11 herbs and spices. Secret recipe. Okay. So you see the difference when people are all bent out of shape. I can't start over. I can't learn something new. Holy moly, is this the time to learn something new? It has never been easier. Maybe that's the problem, right? You can sit with your fanny on the chair, open up a computer and learn how to speak French, build a nuclear reactor, be an engineer, learn water treatment. I mean, you realize you can do that? So I want you guys to understand that. So that's what we did. I needed her to focus on her and her family, but now it's about her. So you see the difference? Keep that in mind, guys, because I know that some of that was going to shock you, because I think a lot of you think that the answer is to kind of sit in a place, rock in a chair, and wait to die. What she ended up doing was picking up a new language. She had been around this other language for a while, but she wanted to become proficient at it. She ended up moving for 2 months to be full immersed. I guess there's a program that you can live in that country, and you eat the food, and you prepare the meals, and go to the store. Everything is in that language. Apparently, you can do this in almost any language, from Japanese to Spanish to French, Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, different than Portugal Portuguese a little bit. And you can go immerse yourself and become proficient. So she said, I'm going to do that. I thought that was pretty brave for sure. So she returned. That was exciting. I said, how did it go? She said, well, I can watch TV in that language. I can listen to the radio in that language. Sometimes some people from this part of the country speak a little faster, so I have to, you know, listen a little carefully because, as you know, in America and in the U.S., if you're from the deep south in Tennessee maybe or someplace in Kentucky, you speak a little different than if you're from Maine. So if you're a foreigner trying to learn and you have your ear tuned just enough, you got to switch it up a little bit. So she had to learn that a little bit. I think that's fascinating, guys. Do you realize? Full immersion. Now, it took her a couple months to prepare. She had to get healthy and strong, and she would walk a bit more, swim a bit more, so that physically she could handle the travel. But when her and I met, I told her the battle was not physical. The battle was mental. And you guys know that too, don't you? You know the battle for change, whatever it is, it's a mental battle. You have to be physically prepared, but it's still a mental battle. Look at the men and women that return from Afghanistan and Iraq with physical impairments. They get right up and back on the horse physically, literally sometimes, and start, but what do they miss? They go to psychological counseling, psych counseling. Why? Because there is a sense inside of your mind that says you can't, shouldn't, and you won't. And you have to beat that. You have to fight that. What's the difference between having a successful career in your 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and now saying, and now I'm just supposed to rock here and wait to die? When did that change? That's not the fighter that you were before. You were a different fighter. Your family was at risk. You fought. Your home was at risk. You fought. Your spouse needed you. You fought. Now I want you to fight for you. And so she did. So I'm very impressed. She's somebody I look up to. All right, guys, stay with me after the break. I have another email from you. This one is fascinating as well. I think you're going to find this interesting because it is about leaving California. See how we do it when we come back. I'm Arif Hallaby, 888-99-RETIRE. Stay with me on AM870 The Answer.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Hallaby.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for staying with me. Your place for news, talk, and information. All right, the email address, Arif, A-R-I-F. That's Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. Arif, at T as in Tom, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H. Wealth as in a lot of money. All right, .com. So tfswealth.com. All right, I tell you that for a couple of reasons. One, I'd like to hear your feedback. Sometimes you have great feedback. Sometimes you have things that need to be said, and I hear it, and I appreciate it. I'll give you a couple of comments. I want to share with you some things that I have heard. Some are not so great, but it's okay. Listen, I didn't do this because I wanted to hear only good ideas. We have 20 years on the radio, somewhere around and you think I did it because I don't want any criticism? Come on now. Of course. All right. One of them made it very clear that I should move, and the way they spelled it, it was fascinating. Florida. They spelled it out, with F-L.O-R. Sounds like you should move to Florida. Leave California. I thought, oh, that was nice. Another one was very kind. And it said, hey, we'd love to write down the phone number, but just please speak it a little slower. Fair. Thank you. I appreciate that. I it's something I didn't think about. Another one made it very clear. Remember, I'm talking about the criticisms and some of the comments. Made it very clear how much we have changed their life and laid out a bunch of things that are different because of listening to our show and being a part of our program all these years. I think we're up 7 years or so on AM870. 13, 14 years on another network. So I've done this for quite some time. What I like about it is the instant feedback, the ability to not be filtered. And I want to encourage you something. Man, I will tell you, I felt kind of, what's the right word? I don't want to say dirty, like I did something wrong, but I felt kind of uncomfortable. Like I was watching something I shouldn't be watching. Kind of like a car accident. You know you're not supposed to look in that direction, because you're not going to get out of the car and help because there's already people helping. It's on the other side of the highway and you're looking at it knowing you shouldn't. You kind of feel a little yucky, whatever. That was me watching the Tucker Carlson and Mr. Cuomo, right? Andrew's brother. Because you realize that the Cuomos, the two brothers, right, when they did their little game and their charade during the COVID and the arrogance, I don't think a lot of people understood. Right? I don't think people understood how much Tucker Carlson disliked CNN. So there was an interview that was done. And I think most of you don't even understand the level that Andrew Cuomo, the influence that Andrew Cuomo had over CNN. Right? I mean, I don't think you understood that. I looked at that interview and it was shocking to me. But I do know and I understand a couple of things. One of those is that Tucker Carlson really disliked him. And I don't think most people understood that. I think most people knew that Chris Cuomo had a place at CNN. But the dislike that Tucker had for CNN and Jeff Zuckerberg and Chris in general, Chris Cuomo, was pretty dramatic. And so I share that with you because I want you to know a couple of things. The conversation between Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo was like a car accident that you couldn't turn away from. Because it felt kind of like he got suckered. Not from that interview, but for the years leading up, the Iraq War, the dishonesty that the Bush administration portrayed, the level that Dick Cheney and why his daughter hates so many people that are not establishment Republicans. It was an interesting interview. I encourage you to watch it or listen to it on podcast. Tucker Carlson, Chris Cuomo changed my perspective. I'm still kind of feeling it. I'm not really sure. It's a little yucky. It's a little weird. You feel kind of suckered in the story. Like, maybe they lied to me a little bit. Not them, but the conservative movement, the Republican establishment, D.C., state of California Republicans. Right? I mean, you understand state of California Republicans didn't come behind Larry Elder. State of California Republicans didn't stand up for Larry and what he was supposed to do, which, oh, by the way, was win the governorship for a very unpopular governor. They didn't give him the money, the resource. Now you understand why. So anyway, fascinating to me, and I think fascinating to you, to be somebody who really now has the foundation of what it takes to now be an independent thinker. Because no longer do I trust or respect at all, as if I ever did really on any level, but at all, the media, including Fox News. You have to dig so deep. Fascinating. Anyway, encourage you to watch that this week. All right. I want to continue with your email. Here's an interesting one. And this one matters because here's what changed. Ready for this? This is pretty exciting. What changed, in my opinion, is now people are leaving California because they're afraid of the wealth tax. Some of you come in and you go, hey, Arif, what about the wealth tax? They're going to tax me for 5 years after I leave the state on everything I own in the world, whether it's in California or not. Well, California is certainly trying to punish you. If they can't close the border, which I'm not going to put it past this governor or the Democrats in the state of California. And look, some of you have come to this country called California from other parts of the United States. Some of you are listening because friends have turned you on in other states and you're a Democrat, like the old liberal style. Let me be clear on something. If you have not lived under California Democrat tyranny, it is the left-wing tyranny. It is not Democrat of days of old. These aren't the same people who said, I may not agree with what you say, but I would die for the right for you to say it. Right, right? Those people don't exist in the Democrat Party anymore. If they do, they're wearing masks and they're sweeping headquarters in the corner. They're not doing anything to influence anybody, if they even exist anymore. That's scary. Because sometimes the criticism, Arif, you just hate Democrats. Democrats bad, Republicans good. No. Left wing bad. The rest of America is good. left-wing progressives bad? Yes. People bad? I don't know. Do they believe that stuff? Do they want to take away my right? Do they want to put somebody in jail for praying across the street from an abortion clinic? Listen, I may or may not agree with any of those things. But you honestly think somebody who's quiet across the street, who's praying, or somebody down the street who's holding a sign is violence? Oh, hate speech. You really think hate speech is a thing? Man, have you been indoctrinated. You're just a different person. You're like defending communism. Really? Right? Ho Chi Minh City would love having you there. Beijing is beautiful this time of year. Go. Havana, not so much. Still pretty. But there's not a lot of stuff there. Unless you're part of the Communist Party. They stole all the houses. I don't know if you know that. They get all the fresh vegetables. Surprise. They certainly do import things from other places. But it goes not to the people. And while we're on it, same thing in Gaza, by the way. You realize they have the entire border with Egypt. They can go to Egypt. They can get anything they want from Egypt. But Hamas controls that border. Hamas steals all the food and all the money. You understand that. It's not the people. The reason we had to parachute food in there, which, by the way, landed on people and killed people, but don't tell anybody. The reason we had to parachute food there is because then there's no way for the Hamas soldiers to immediately seize the food. That is what your left-wing tyranny leads to, is that kind of dictatorship. I'm telling you, listen, the same thing, guys. If you're not going to stand up and fight in California, then just leave. Because you're just going to be one of the part of the problem, right? You're the machine. You're the food that fuels the machine. Because you're going to get paid, you pay your taxes. You go to the store, you pay your taxes. They're stealing that money, State of California Democrat Progressive Party, and they're using it to feed and fuel what? Up their system. Your kids are in elementary school. You fund the teachers. Teachers mandatory, required to put money into the union, believe it or don't believe it, like it or not like it, tough luck. You have to pay to be a teacher. You have to pay to go to work. You have to pay a private institution to go to work. It's like, does that make sense to you? Oh, Eric, it's not how you, it is how unions work. You are forced to pay so that you could have a job. Then they take the money and they pay the politicians, guess what? To pass laws so that you are forced to pay so that when you go to work, they keep getting money. You're not going to fight it? Just leave. Go to a place where you can be agnostic. If you're not going to stand up and fight, write letters to the, and it's more than just sitting in your basement and doing Facebook posts. You have to stand up. I mean, look, if that's all you can do, do it. But you better be fighting. Because believe me, they are fighting on the other side against you very hard and very quickly. All right. Marsha sent this with her and her husband. All right. Dear Arif, we're finally leaving the highly taxed and unsafe state of California. We have seen the illegal immigration and lack of enforcement of our laws impact our quality of life. My husband and I are both in our mid-40s, and we are going to have to start over with our three teenagers. I just started a job with a pension about 5 years ago, but I'll be giving it all up in order to leave. My husband only has a 401k plan and has never had a pension. His retirement accounts have over $600,000, and I have about $90,000 in my 401k. He has had selected a few good stocks, and that's what made his retirement accounts go up so far over the last few years. We are now moving and would like to know what to do with our retirement accounts. My husband will be getting a new job that has a 401k plan. His new employer will also do a matching plan. I am not sure if I will work or what my future holds. It depends on the cost of living and what the overall cost of our house will be. All right. All right, Marsha, I love it. Here's the idea. Here's what you have to do. I think for a lot of you that are considering leaving, and listen, I'm not telling you to leave if you're going to fight. If you feel like fighting, if that's your personality, if that's what you want to do or can do, great. But if not, stop adding money to the system. And they're her three teenagers, right? They're all in the school system. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month that the school system receives by having those three teenagers there. There are many, many states where you have school choice, where they give you that thousands of dollars, not in your pocket, but they give you basically a voucher that says, hey, where do you want us to send your money? We've taken property tax money from everybody, including the older lady down the street who never had children, including the man down the street who's married but never had kids. They still have to put money in to the school system so that we can educate your three teenagers, says that state. So they take money from those people, just like they do in California. Your kids might have grown and gone to private school your whole life, homeschooled, doesn't matter. They take money from you to give to somebody else's, strangers, now illegal immigrants, kids to go to school. Yes, they're human beings. I get it. Don't send me those emails. Yes, illegal immigrants should be educated. I don't want them out stealing just because they can't read and write. Got it. They should be back in their own home country. That's where they belong. Right? They're not bad people. Go in line. Well, why is that so hard? Don't conflate the difference between immigration and illegal immigration. They are different. It's like me going into a store and buying something or me going into the store and stealing something. I still went into the store. One way I came out, I paid for something. One way I came out and I stole it. There's a difference. Both cases, I get the goodies. Both cases, I have a shopping cart full of stuff. It's the same human being. God willing, he'll see me someday. I'll see him. Got it, right? And I still stole the items coming out of the store. I mean, you get it? Well, that's now pushing people off to another direction. And so they're leaving. So here's what you do. Okay, if you put money into a pension for 5 years, it depends on the company. Some companies have a 5-year vesting, which means a little bit each and every year or nothing until 5 years. It's a pension system. If you work for the state of California, they have a 5-year vesting, which means 5 years and 5 minutes, you have a pension. That's why some people will go to work for the DMV for 5 years. Department of Water and Power, their vesting is 10 years. You do 10 years with DWP, they pay you for the rest of your life for not showing up to work. I mean, you understand that? That's why DWP, in my opinion, is so corrupt. There's no choice. They force you to work with them, and then they pay people for the rest of their life for never showing up again after 10 years. What? Can I have two of those jobs to go, please? It's crazy. Again, good people, nice, got it. But how do you pay somebody for the rest of their life working at the state of California, whatever, after 5 years? Well, they do. So I don't know if she works. I don't know if Marsha works for the state. If she did, and it's 5 years and 5 minutes or just less, I'm going to say stay there for those 5 years. Because then it's vesting. Now you'll have a choice. Based on your age, it's not going to be a very large amount of money, but you could pick it up and roll it over to an IRA if there's any money in there. Sometimes the vesting plans are longer with private pensions. You just have to see if there's any money in the pension. But your 401k plan, just like your husband's old IRAs, old 401k plans, which are now IRAs, and his current plan, you can pick those up and move those also into a traditional IRA. Here's what I would do. I want you guys to consider an indexed universal life, IUL. The fixed indexed universal life can give you tax-free money in retirement, and it can give you the ability to have money available for long-term care, and if God forbid one of you passes away. So Marsha, if you choose to stay home with the kids, and your husband's career is big, it's nice, it's providing for everybody, and you're at home doing the hardest job, by the way, but he were to pass away, you lose the money. So I would make sure that he has a life insurance plan. Oh, probably 10 times what he makes. You can do a little less because you have a lot of savings, but at least eight, maybe eight times, 10. Let's say he earns $100,000 a year, maybe $1 million in an IUL. Maybe you have to use some term insurance. Here's the difference. Indexed universal life, the pros, you get cash value. The cons, it costs more money. So if we're just trying to solve for the life insurance need, then you use term insurance. Term insurance for a period of time, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, etc. Okay, so you might have maybe $500,000 in a term plan, right? $500,000, $500,000 that is the term insurance, and maybe $300,000 indexed universal life or something like that. I'd have to kind of talk with you to see some more details, but so you have term insurance that's 20 years. It will give the kids a chance to grow, get into college, move on before that 20 years and 20 minutes is up, and there's no more term insurance. Right? You're renting a bag of money just like you were paying your car insurance. If you don't crash your car last year, did they send you a check? Of course not. But if you did, the $500 or $2,000, whatever you paid, and they send you a new car or repair yours exactly. Right? So this is important because the purpose of the insurance, the life insurance, determines which one you receive and in which percentages. My reason for going a little bit more on the indexed universal life is because ultimately, wherever you move, you can have tax-free money later on. But I want you to add to the 401k plan at least up to the match. Because what you did so far, Marcia's husband, is you saved a pretty darn good chunk of money. $600,000 in your mid-40s, I like it. I would put at least $100,000, maybe $150,000, in your current 401k plan, meaning you can do a transfer. Here's why. If we took money from your IRA and put it into your 401k plan at work and at your new job, then when you need it, if you need it, if there's an emergency, you can borrow from it 50% or $50,000, whatever's higher. Or whatever's lower. So in other words, if you have $60,000 in there, you can only borrow $30,000. If you have $200,000 in there, you can still only borrow $50,000. So the $100,000 is the maximum. So I'd put in $120,000, something like that. So if you need it for an emergency, if something goes wrong, you can access it through borrowing, meaning it has to be paid back. It doesn't affect your taxes. It does reduce your take-home pay because you're taking it and paying it back through your paycheck each month. But it's just another layer of just in case. I might take the rest and I'd put it into if you wanted some stock bond mutual funds, if you wanted to stay in the stock market, whatever you decide, what you wanted for reliable retirement income, that's where I would pick it up and move it into a fixed indexed annuity, a good one. Long term, you're still young, get as many bonuses and income extras, all those things, you can get that. Beautiful thing you can do with that money. But what we did is set it up so that in this particular case, Marcia's retirement account, I would just put it into an IRA, keep it into a savings account at a bank, just set it there for a bit. 6 months, a year, decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to move again. Remember, I told you people do that. First hour of the show. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to the first hour of the show. It takes a day or so, but it'll be up on the podcast. Go to am870theanswer.com, click on podcasts, go down to the Total Financial Hour. You'll see me with a little bit more hair. So it's a good picture. Smile. I think I had my braces by that time, so it's a good picture. But what you can do is decide by letting it sit and park in a savings account IRA or a CD IRA, whatever. There's no risk to the $90,000 going down. Your money, Marcia, that you saved and earned. I don't want you just taking a risk just because right now. Because what if you were to go to work in 6 months and you find a good job and you like it and it has a 401k? I might say, pick up this $90,000, roll it into there. Why? Same thing. If there's an emergency, we now have access to $50,000 from you and $50,000 from him. Again, all we're doing is playing a just in case, the whole devil's advocate kind of thing. How do we make sure that if something doesn't go well in this new career, new job, new place, that we have a plan B. That's all. That's all. And then here's the big case, a big thing for you guys. I want you to go there with the kids for a long weekend. Before you move, before you sell everything and have a garage sale and move out there, spend time. Do I like the north, the south, east, west? Where are the kids that are of similar ages? Where are the better schools? Did you want a private school? Whatever it is that you're going to do, you're going to spend time and do it. And here's the other part that makes a huge difference. You don't let any one of the kids have veto power. None of them get total veto power over this because they're going to be there for 3 or 4 years. If they don't like it, they off, go to college. Bye. See ya. It is you guys that are here for the duration. Now, you don't want bullies and bad stuff and drugs and gangs. I get it. Of course not. But don't let any one of them give you the veto power, because statistically speaking, they're only going to be with you for a few more years. It's you guys that have a lifetime next. All right. So this matters a lot as you are planning and building. But make sure that you do your homework. Financially, as far as all that goes, Marsha, we can handle it. Pretty simple. All I would do is I'm building in layers of protection. We can always move the money later. There's some things we can do later. But at least it gives you that protection. Hey, guys, thanks for being part of the show. I'm Arif Halaby, 888-997-3847. Arif Halaby and the Total Financial Show on your place for news, talk, and information. This is AM870, The Answer. Give us a call anytime if I can help. Be an honor. Have a blessed weekend, guys.
Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour.